This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray, and as always, joined by Matt Eumanns on Thursdays to break down the card. Week four of the college football slate is ahead of us, Matt Eumanns, and we have three showdowns between top 25 teams on Saturday. So should be a fun weekend. Some situational spots that we'll jump into, a late night game that you and I are going to be involved in. It's like we're in mid-season form, Matt.
Well, if we were in mid-season form, we'd be picking more winners. So hopefully that changes a little bit this week. The last couple weeks have not been positive in terms of picking winners. So hopefully that's a different story on Saturday.
No, they have not. And yes, we will hopefully be back in the winning ways. So not off to a great start, but we're trying to figure things out. And let's start with this next game. Tennessee visiting Oklahoma, the Josh Heupel revenge game. Not too long ago, a decade ago, Bob Stoops came out and said, "We're making a move, and I'm moving on from Josh Heupel." 10 years later, he's now the head coach of Tennessee, and he brings his Volunteers into town. 7:30 Eastern kick time on ABC. College game day there in Norman. Both these teams undefeated. A lot of familiarity, Matt, with these two programs, with, once again, Josh Heupel being on the same staff as Brett Venables, being the quarterback of Oklahoma when Venables was the defensive coordinator, leading that Tennessee team to a 2000 national championship. Point spread sits at 7, touched 7.5 earlier this week. This is the first time, Matt, that Oklahoma has been an underdog of more than a touchdown at home since 1998. This is the first time they've been a dog at all at home since 2016, when Ohio State came to town. And I thought this was interesting. Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook was on VSiN Primetime last Wednesday, and he noted that they opened this game at Tennessee minus 2. 140 of the 141 first bets were on the Volunteers. It goes off the board. It reemerges as Tennessee minus 7.5. It now sits at 7. And even when you look at some of the game of the year lines, which we'll show you here from the South Point from over the summer, Oklahoma was a significant favorite in this game from over the summer. So a lot of movement, a lot of tinkering with people's power ratings. It's kind of a hold on to your butt special here, but I took the Sooners here plus 7.5 earlier this week and still would take them at a touchdown here. What do you have in this one?
I didn't bet this game yet, but I'm planning on playing the Sooners. I'm going to wait to see if the 7.5 pops up again. And by the way, how would you like to be that one guy who made that bet at DraftKings and took Oklahoma 2.5? It should have been 141 of 141 bets or whatever on Tennessee as a 2.5-point favorite. But I think some of the so-called square books are going to show a 7.5 on this game before kickoff. Betting public's in love with the favorite here, and it's pretty obvious why. Oklahoma got that serious scare from a mediocre Houston team, some would say a bad Houston team, a couple of weeks ago, and that's put a scare into a lot of bettors. Meanwhile, Tennessee has just been trashing opponents. Chattanooga, NC State, and Kent State, 69-3, 51-10, 71-0. So all the numbers look really impressive for the Vols. But I'm going to take the contrarian view in this game and go with the team that's has not been an underdog of this size at home for, about 25 years, as you just referenced. I think the Oklahoma defense is fine. Sooners play better competition. They're allowing 265 yards and 11 points per game. Also, Jackson Arnold's going to get a couple receivers back healthy this week. That Oklahoma offense is going to look a little bit more impressive with those two receivers out there around Deion Burks this week. So it's the first SEC game in Norman. I know it's going to be a hyped atmosphere. Josh Heupel coming back. I read the story on ESPN.com about, the hard feelings he's probably got after getting fired 10 years ago. But none of that stuff matters when you're handicapping a game like this. What matters is Nico Iamaliva, the Tennessee quarterback, is starting on the road in a hostile environment for the first time. Look, this is not kindergarten. playing at home against Chattanooga, NC State, and Kent State anymore. This is the big leagues. And when you go on the road and start in a game like this for the first time, it's probably not going to be smooth sailing. So I like the Sooners. I'm going to wait for the 7.5 to pop up. If I got to take the 7, I'll take it. But I see a couple 7.5s out there offshore, so I'm confident I can get that, and that's going to be my play on this game.
Yeah, I took the 7.5 earlier this week, but I agree. I think as you wait, that certainly will show up. Over the summer, I mentioned this, the official number from South Point, they opened this game, Oklahoma 4.5. It is now 7.5 in favor of Tennessee, so a significant move from over the summer to where we are now. Maybe no bigger move from over the summer to where we are now for this next game. Number 11, USC, visiting number 18, Michigan. This game, 3:30 on CBS, and Alex Orji. He will get the start here for the Wolverines. He has thrown a whopping 7 passes in his career, 20 yards, as he replaces Davis Warren. Sharon Moore did talk to the media earlier this week and said, expect for him to open up the playbook, throw the ball a little bit down the field. USC is a 5.5-point favorite here against Michigan. And, you know, I mentioned Matt Grill. He joins VSiN Primetime every Wednesday evening, Matt. And I thought this was pretty fascinating when he came on the program last week when they set up their look-ahead line for this USC-Michigan game, referring back to over the summer and the number that they posted on this game, one that he regrets a little bit.
Where were you guys over the summer in USC, Michigan, and where are you now for this week 4 showdown in Ann Arbor?
Oh, man, you guys had to bring this up. This is probably our worst game of the year line that we went up with over the summer. I think, I'm embarrassed to say this, I think we went up with Michigan minus 13. They got bet down. It was sitting for most of the summer around 9 or so, maybe 8.5. And then, of course, you know, things here have changed. You know, Michigan comes out and they're having QB issues. They're having attrition issues with just replacing this great team from last year. So, you know, they're trying to find themselves. You know, didn't look great against Fresno. I don't want to discount them just too much quite yet because I think they're still going to figure it out. You know, they had a, you know, a true premium team in Texas coming in. And just, you know, Texas is now, I think, the third best team in the country. You know, an argument there for eventually, you know, maybe the top one or two teams, but they're right behind Georgia and Ohio State. So don't want to discount too much last week. That was a premium team that came in and beat them, did beat their brains in, but did beat them. So Michigan, you know, we talked about it over the summer. It was sitting there 8.5, 9 over USC. USC, of course, looked good against LSU, getting that victory. Blew out Utah State. And hey, we're all the way to where we just opened USC minus 2 about an hour ago. So I think 40 of the first 42 bets on this one were on USC. So we've since moved out to USC minus 2.5.
Well, moved it to 2.5, moved it to 5, 5.5. That's where it stands right now, Matt. Total sitting at 44.5. I'll get my thoughts on the total here in just a moment. Mullins has been running the ball well for Michigan, more effectively than Donovan Edwards, the face of the NCAA football game, one of the three cover people there for that football game. What do you make of USC at Miami? Michigan so far on the year 0-3 ATS, didn't cover against Fresno State, didn't cover against Arkansas, and obviously didn't cover against Texas, losing that game by 19.
Yeah, when you hear Matt Grill talk about that, you feel bad for not taking USC, plus double digits.
Oh, man, be nice to have.
And, you know, I didn't like this Michigan team over the summer. When I was writing the Big Ten previews for the VSiN College Football Guide, and I've said consistently, my favorite win total bet of the college season is Michigan under 9. I didn't see any path to this Wolverines team getting to 10 wins to beat you on that bet. And I thought they could be, you know, an 8-4, 7-5 type of team. Right now, the Wolverines look like a 7-5 type of team. They've been a little bit lucky, actually, to beat Fresno State. And that was pretty ugly against Arkansas State a week ago. So the quarterback play is a mess. Davis Warren gets benched, and now you've got Alex Orji, who we don't even know if he can throw a pass. It's looked pretty weak from Orji in terms of him trying to throw the ball so far. It's going to be hard to hang in the game or beat USC if you got a one-dimensional offense when they know what's coming. So it's got to be the threat of the pass. Orji's going to have to do something in the passing game. By the way, the USC upgrade on defense, it's not just, you know, it's not just the defensive coordinator, Dan Tomlin, who came over from UCLA and he took that Bruins defense from 87th to 11th in total D in the country in 1 year. It's also the entire defensive coaching staff, which was upgraded by Lincoln Riley after the embarrassment of last season. I would like to get on Michigan here. You know, I like home dogs, but I've had my head beat in playing a bunch of dead home dogs here the last couple weeks. And you know, one of the teams I lost on as a home dog was Michigan against Texas a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to do it again because I really think Texas could have won that game by 40 if the Longhorns wanted to lay on the gas and pile on. I can't get here with Michigan right now. Defense can keep them in the game for a while, but eventually your offense has got to do something. And if you're that one-dimensional offensively like the Wolverines have been, it's going to be tough here. So, man, I lean Michigan. I want to get on that side, but I just can't do it yet.
Yeah, for me, it's ultimately going to be a slight play on the under. It'll be an official play, but, of course, we're missing the good number, 45 being a key number in college football, and it's 44.5 pretty much market-wide. But I think we see maybe a little more under money start to hit the market as we get closer to kickoff. So I will take the under here. I think Michigan, the only way, in my opinion, is to lean on that defense and to run the ball as much as possible. So I'm going to take the under here, Matt, in the big house. I'm with you. I like Michigan a little bit, but I just can't trust that offense right now to get anything sustainable there for point wise for Michigan. So give me the under 44.5. All right, let's take a quick break here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Will he or won't he? I'm talking about you, Cam Rising. Are you going to play football this weekend? We'll give our best guess next here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am Tim Murray, live here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, joined as always by Matt Eumanns as we work our way through the Week 4 card. And we've got a top 15 matchup, Matt, in Stillwater, Oklahoma. The state of Oklahoma has college game day and also should have big noon kickoff, but for whatever reason, the fellas from Fox are going to Columbus to watch Marshall take on Ohio State. But regardless, 4 o'clock Eastern in Stillwater, number 12 Utah at number 14 Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Matt. And Oklahoma State on Wednesday night was an underdog against Utah. Then they moved to a 2.5-point favorite, and it is all dependent on the status of Cam Rising. And as we record this on a Thursday, nobody knows. There was a report out there earlier in the week that Cam Rising would play in this game. He, of course, did not play last weekend in Utah's win, but not cover, against Utah State. So can you play this game, Matt, not knowing the status of Cam Rising? Do you take an Oklahoma State position hoping that it's not Cam Rising and feeling pretty good at under a field goal with Isaac Wilson being the starter for Utah? What do you make of this situation in Stillwater with Oklahoma State now back to being the favorite with the uncertainty of Cam Rising?
Yeah, I leaned Oklahoma State here. I wish, I was thinking about taking a position on the Cowboys, getting the points. And, you know, with Cam Rising, it's a toss-up. You don't know if he's going to play or not. And even if he does play, how effective is he going to be? That's the thing. A lot of times we talk about like Jordan Love with the Packers this week. Is he going to play? Is he not? Well, if he does play, how effective is he going to be? He's coming off a knee injury, and he might not be the same player after a couple weeks off with the injury concerns. So with Cam Rising, I lean with his status up in the air. Let's say even if he plays, I still lean Oklahoma State a little bit in the game. One thing, you know, 2-3 years ago, feels like I was really talking up Cam Rising as a quarterback at Utah. It feels like a long time ago. I am so tired of the Cam Rising injury situation. And, the rumors, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? This seems like a never-ending saga. And, I would err on the side of Cam Rising's not going to play at this point, because that's kind of the track record we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, no position for me on this game. You know, Matt, you and I are older fellas. You know, once upon a day, we were at the height of our athleticism. It takes a long time to get back up and going when you're old and you've got nicks and knacks. The combined age of Alan Bowman and Cam Rising, 49 years old. Think about Sunday Night Football. C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. What's the average? It was like 44, 45 years old. So this is the COVID era at its peak, having two seventh-year guys, we think, going head-to-head. By the way, Alan Bowman's actually played some decent football as of late, and Utah's defense a little bit leaky last week against Utah State. All right, Matt, this next graphic is just for you. I know you like your spicy foods. We call them spicy matchups here.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
Yeah, there we go. Looking sharp there. All right, late night, Matt, you and I, while probably you're eating some sort of spicy food, at 10:30 Eastern, we will have Kansas State fresh off of a whooping against Arizona last Friday, going out to Provo to take on BYU. BYU, surprisingly 3-0, a week two win over SMU. Wasn't pretty, but they got it done. They beat Wyoming last week, got the cover as well on the road there. So a 3-0 start for the Cougars, a 3-0 start for the Wildcats. You and I are going to be aligned on this play as we've seen money trickle in a little bit on the BYU Cougars here. Market now sitting at 6.5 for the Cougars at home late night, where our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be roaming the sidelines.
This is a spicy matchup, and while I'm, you know, listening to you talk and thinking about spicy food, I see a commercial on TV. I'm watching the NFL Network, and it's for Chipotle and their new smoked brisket, and there are photos of jalapeno peppers in there. I saw that commercial during Sunday football, and I actually drove to Chipotle and tried the brisket, and I can tell you, it's pretty good, and it's a little spicy. So maybe we can get the VSIN sales team on that as a potential sponsor for this segment. All right. BYU's got one of the stronger home fields in college football at altitude, and this is a home dog I like. This is the first bet I made this week was BYU plus 7. And a lot of times, Tim, you'll watch the market and you'll say, okay, maybe I shouldn't take 7 yet. I'm going to see if maybe a 7.5 is going to pop up somewhere. But it looked like the market was going to trend to 6.5, so I went ahead and took the 7 right away. And if you can't get the 7 before kickoff Saturday, you can buy it like 7 minus 125, minus 130 by the half point. I do like BYU here a lot. And, again, Avery Johnson is a talented young quarterback for K-State. But it's a big road game for the Wildcats. He's been good. He has not been great so far. 64% completions, 187 yards rushing. DJ Giddens is a stud at running back right now, 6.6 yards per carry. But Avery Johnson has not passed for 200 yards in a game yet. And this BYU defense is sturdy. You look at all the different categories, it's a legitimate, I'd say, top 20 defense. You could even say top 10. But we haven't seen, you know, a lot of these defenses play stiff competition yet, so I hate to rank defenses with different levels of competition this early in the season. But BYU went to SMU, won that game 18-15 last week, took care of a bad Wyoming Cowboys team in Laramie, 34-14. But the BYU D allowed 77 rushing yards on 33 carries in that game, and total yards in favor of BYU, 458-217. Also held SMU to 260 total yards. Jake Retzlaff is kind of like a poor man's Taysom Hill. As BYU's quarterback, he can throw it and run it. Last week, 290 yards passing, 62 rushing. I think you got the components here: strong offensive and defensive line, strong home field, good quarterback play. A lot of things to set up for BYU plus 7 to be a live home dog. One thing I don't like: the big coaching advantage goes to K-State.
Yeah.
But everything else here points me to BYU plus 7.
Yeah, I'm with you. I took the 7 with BYU, and I love the spot late night. Not that you overlook home conference opponents, but you're coming off of a big win over Arizona. Next week, you host Oklahoma State. It is a little bit of a sandwich spot here to go out to Provo, late night game. BYU play much better than anticipated, so I'm with you on BYU. NC State at number 21, Clemson. NC State will be making a change at quarterback. Grayson McCall is injured. He has also been ineffective. And they will be going to freshman C.J. Bailey, who you will hear this about a million times over the weekend. He was the quarterback for Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State. This number has gone bonkers with Clemson as a 20.5 point favorite in this spot. We've actually seen a little bit of buyback here on NC State with that number being as high as it is and down to 19. Last year, NC State beat Clemson. How good is Clemson? Are they as good as what they showed against App State? Are they as bad as what they showed against Georgia? Matt, ultimately what I've decided to do here, I'm not going to play this game, but at DraftKings right now, they have a market to make the conference championship game. I think Clemson, when I look at this schedule, I like this Clemson team. I don't know if they're better than Miami, but they don't need to be for me to cash this bet. So I'm going to put in a futures bet here. Clemson to make the ACC championship. It's at even money right now at DraftKings. They have to go on the road to Florida State. That game certainly doesn't look very daunting anymore. Host Louisville at Virginia Tech. So there's some potential speed bumps out there, but I think this Clemson team is maybe a 1B to Miami's 1A. I don't want to lay 19 or anything like that. NC State's got some serious, serious issues. I like Clemson to win this game. I'm not going to mess with the 19, but I do think they make the ACC championship game where they'll likely play Miami, and that number is at even money.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney and his crew took a lot of criticism after that Georgia game, and it felt like Appalachian State paid for it, right? They took frustrations out on the Mountaineers in that game, and I would say that Clemson's not a team I want to step in front of. Right now, and I agree with your bet, actually, on the Tigers to get the ACC championship game. I like that play as well. No play for me on this game. No interest in getting on NC State.
All right, Matt, we got about a minute before a break. Speaking of Miami, they play South Florida on the road at Raymond James Stadium. DraftKings right now hanging 17.5 in favor of the Canes. What do you like here with Miami at South Florida?
Well, I bet this, and I took 17. I didn't think it was going to go to 17.5. Circa was showing a 17, then dropped to 16.5, and there are only a couple 17s out there. I like the South Florida Bulls. Again, this is a home dog here that I think could be live. Look at the last couple games South Florida has played against Alabama. You know, I don't think they're going to be the Bulls are going to be intimidated by the Hurricanes coming in. They're going to be jacked up for this game, and I think this is a pretty well-coached team. It's decent quarterback play. The Bulls can run the ball. I think they're good enough on both sides of the ball to hang around that we could take a bunch of points here with a home dog that's going to be fired up for the game.
All right, South Florida plus 17.5, an official play for Matt. How do Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes respond after a resounding win last Saturday night? We'll hit on that game. More spicy matchups just for Matt and you on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It does help us quite a bit. We continue to see this Thursday episode show up in those top rankings for sports podcasts. So much appreciated to all of you out there. And hopefully we'll do our part this week and be handing out some winners. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling feisty, ready to rock and roll. Matt, last weekend, Colorado, after the smack talk from Colorado State, which I found out on Saturday from Mike Sanford, actually took place over the summer months, but the reporter in Denver held on to the Fowler Nicolosi and Torrey Horton sound until the week of Colorado State. So it added for some bulletin board material. It added for Shador Sanders to snub Fowler Nicolosi of a handshake post game, but the Buffs are back at it this week, and they are a slight home favorite against the Baylor Bears in this spot. And Baylor looks like taking a little bit of money now. It's around 2 in favor of Colorado. What do you make of Colorado hosting Baylor off of their win last week against Colorado State?
First of all, I'm done with Colorado State, and I apologize.
They stink.
I know. That's a bad football team, and anybody who followed us on that play or followed me on that play, I apologize. I'm done with Colorado State. First of all, Jay Norvell, shut up, okay? Don't talk trash about the opposing coach If you can't, he blew the game in Boulder in 2023. They're talking too much before this year's game. You got your quarterback, your star wide receiver. I don't care if that was taped in May, June, July. I don't care when it was. Don't talk trash about the opponents when you haven't beat them. And, you know, it would be like Ryan Day coming out this year talking trash about Michigan after getting his butt kicked by him a couple of times. You can't do it. And Fowler Nicolosi before halftime last week had 12 yards passing. And where was Torrey Horton? He was missing in action. So, you know, when you told me last week about that clip and we played it on the show, I was really second-guessing myself whether or not I wanted to play Colorado State, because I hate the trash talk of an opponent before a game, especially when you're the little brother and you haven't beat a team like Colorado. Now, I still, after last week's game, am not a believer in this Buffaloes team. The top-end talent is outstanding with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. But still, the Buffaloes can't run the ball. There's holes all over that defense. And Colorado State was so bad, the Rams couldn't take advantage of it a week ago. Maybe Baylor can. Dave Aranda is a good coach. I think he's back on solid footing. He's got this defense back in order. Baylor D allowing 255 yards per game so far. I'm going with the better coach, better defense here, and I think Baylor can get it done on the road. So that's going to be my play here.
That game, 8 o'clock on Fox, 7:30 on NBC. The Floyd of Rosedale, that, of course, Iowa against Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at how low can we go. A little limbo here on this total of 35.5 between Iowa and Minnesota. Iowa, surprisingly, gave up some points last week. Detroit didn't get the cover, but the Hawkeyes back at it. They are a 2.5-point favorite against Minnesota. We talked about some of those game of the year lines over the summer. This game was lined, I think, 3.5 over the summer. Now 2.5. So not a big adjustment between these two teams. Iowa at Minnesota. You've got a money line price, it looks like, at DraftKings at around $1.35, Matt. How are you looking to play Iowa at Minnesota for the Floyd of Rosedale trophy?
Yeah, college football odds makers really don't have much to fear when you're talking about putting up numbers over the summer on Iowa. Hawkeyes game isn't going to change too much, right? There's not a lot of volatility with Iowa football. You pretty much know what you're going to get. Payback here. Tim, you remember this game a year ago?
Sure do.
On the punt return, they got wiped out by a bogus call on a fair catch signal, and Minnesota escaped with the win. P.J. Fleck dancing off the field. I was happy because I had the Gophers in that game, but Iowa got screwed, I think, with that punt return for touchdown being wiped out. From what I've seen so far, Iowa's got the superior defense. And again, it's a situation where the Hawkeyes have pretty much owned this series, aside from what happened last year. I don't want to lay any points with Iowa. We saw it with Iowa State, right, where it was a one-point game late. Last night, hunting around, I found a Iowa minus 130 money line here, and I'm playing the Hawkeyes to get some payback. But on the money line, not laying points with Iowa football.
You know, I was wondering why I've been off to such a slow start, and maybe it is the gambling gods still giving me crap for my Minnesota plus 4 ticket that came home last year in the 12-10 victory over Iowa last year. So revenge on the mind there for the Hawkeyes. This would be a nice victory for you and me because we both have over win totals on the Hawkeyes. All right. A game that you don't have a play on, but something I'm debating here. Georgia Tech at number 19, Louisville, 3:30 on ESPN2. Brent Key has thrived in the underdog role. How about this, folks? If you go back to their win over Florida State, they have not been an underdog since. He's 13-3 ATS as an underdog since taking over as the head coach of Georgia Tech. This is a little bit of a look-ahead spot here for Louisville. Next week, they go to South Bend to take on Notre Dame, which should be a big one, barring Notre Dame losing to another MAC team. Should be a top 20 showdown. I haven't played this game yet, Matt, but the way that Georgia Tech likes to play, run the ball as much as they do, I'm very intrigued by this Georgia Tech team always in the dog role. So can Haynes King and Jamal Haynes get it rolling here? Haven't played it yet, but the Ramblin' Wreck on my radar there, catching 11 on the road there against Louisville. All right, let's get to another rivalry game, Matt, as I believe this is the Iron Skillet game, TCU at SMU. How are the Horned Frogs going to respond after just a devastating loss last week to UCF? I think most people probably turned that game off and then, whoa, UCF comes back, wins it 35-34. This game is at SMU, 5 p.m. on the CW. And SMU has to be one of the more disappointing teams so far this year, as they got off to a as both people expected them to fly over their win total, have already lost a game to BYU. What do we expect here? SMU hosting TCU. The market seems to be back in the Horned Frogs here in a bounce-back spot, number out the three.
Yeah, I'm back in the Horned Frogs, too. That was devastating. Blown lead and loss for the Horned Frogs a week ago. I think Sonny Dykes has got to really want this game. And, you know, he's going to get his team back up. This is a big game for the coach. SMU, Tim, has got to be, if you talk about teams that you downgrade on your power ratings the most from the preseason to now, SMU's got to be near the top of the list. So I'm not afraid to fade the Mustangs in this spot. I played TCU, but I also played this on the money line, and I think I got this at 140. So Horned Frogs to bounce back after the collapse a week ago. I think they get the win here over the Mustangs.
Yeah, it looks like DraftKings $1.42, Superbook here in town at -140. So there are definitely some shops there with -140s out there. All right, that does it for the spicy matchups. Let's get to some possible letdown spots. And once again, disclaimer, these are not all rapid fire plays, but it's worth noting as from a situational standpoint how these games are. So we'll kind of lump these together. Indiana taking on the Fighting Biff Pogies. They're laying 28.5 here against Charlotte. No thanks. I do not want to get involved. Charlotte stinks. Their backup quarterback is in. I don't want anything to do with this game. Kentucky versus Ohio. Kentucky coming off that devastating loss to Georgia, 13-12. What's the mindset of this Kentucky team? And last one I want to lump in here, Matt, this was a game that I targeted over the summer. Memphis goes to Florida State, and I know, have your yucks. This isn't a massive win because Florida State looks like they stink and they're a short home favorite against Cal this weekend. But Memphis goes to Doak Campbell, gets the win, Matt, and now they have to go on the road to Navy. Navy coming off a bye week, and you got to imagine that Coach Scott Satterfield, he probably didn't have his team, or Ryan Silverfield, excuse me, didn't have his team focused on running the triple option. Drew Cronick, the new offensive coordinator. As long as we're in double digits, I'm taking Navy. This was one of my first bets of the week. Give me Navy plus anything in the double digits, which there are, I think, a couple tens still out there.
Yeah, if you look at this list you compiled here of teams in letdown spots, I think Kentucky, Memphis, and I want to say Kentucky and Memphis, probably top of the list in terms of potential letdowns. It's got to be emotionally crushing for the Wildcats to have Georgia backed against the ropes again, ready to deliver the knockout, and you can't do it, and you lose that game 13-12. You let Georgia Bulldogs off the hook. I think that's got to be incredibly deflating for Kentucky to play that well and come up a point short in that game. Memphis, Florida State's not the marquee win. It's not like you knocked off a top 10 team. Let's put it that way. But Florida State was considered by a lot of people to be a top 10, top 15 team before the season. I agree with you here on Navy. And also, I'm going to second what you said. No interest in betting against the Indiana Hoosiers right now. Kurt Cignetti is trying to pile up points and run up scores. He will do it against Charlotte here if he can, and I think he can.
He wins. Just Google him. We'll hit on a couple more of these letdown spots. We got a couple more best bets as well. Come on back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, stick around to after the best bet recap. We'll have a preview of the Friday night games, three games on the Friday slate, including a top 25 showdown in Lincoln, Nebraska. So bonus coverage after that best bet recap.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Putting putting a bow on this, baby. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We'll run through a couple more plays of ours. We'll wrap up the potential letdown spots. There's some big boys with big spreads. And as always, we'll run through our best bet recap. I just want to hit on a couple more of these letdown spots, Matt. I know it's not a letdown spot because it's 2 weeks removed, but maybe it's just an overinflation. It's fading a team that is ranked for the first time in quite some time. I'm going to take the points with Northern Illinois here. I'm going to take the 14.5 with Buffalo against Northern Illinois. Thomas Hammack, I think, did every interview possible, and as he should, but still I think they might be a little fat and happy after their win over Notre Dame. They play NC State next week, too, which will be massive for their opportunity to potentially challenge for the G5 bid in the college football playoff. I have not played this game on the bottom portion of here, but I'm real interested in Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt coming off of a terrible loss just a week ago. And Missouri, let's be honest, they did not meet odds makers' expectations against Boston College. They win that game 27-12. Diego Pavia, I saw this stat. He is 7-1 ATS, Matt, as an underdog, as a starter. So haven't played it, but Vanderbilt plus the points, if you were able to get 21, is a little interesting for me there. So an official play, I'll take Buffalo plus the points, and I'm intrigued by Vanderbilt catching the points there in Columbia.
Okay, I'm going to pass on those games. Northern Illinois has had an extra week to kind of come down from the high of the Notre Dame upset, so I'm not too concerned about that, even though I would agree that it would be dog or pass in that sort of situation, because that's a lot to deal with the last couple of weeks after you knock off Notre Dame, all the media attention Northern Illinois has received. I'm telling you what, I'm not downgrading Missouri at all. Boston College is for real.
Yep.
They've got an NFL offensive line, and I thought that game was a little bit overpriced. This BC team is legit, so I'm still not going to knock Missouri for what happened last week at all.
All right, a couple more letdown spots. I don't think any official plays will rifle through these just as potential situational angles. Toledo went down to Stark Vegas. They got an easy win over Mississippi State, they are not very good in Jeff Lebby's first year. I'm interested in Western Kentucky here if I can get the full three. They are going to be starting a backup quarterback in Caden Velkamp, but he's actually looked the part. I don't know if he's a big drop-off from T.J. Finley. We talked about Kansas State. Both you and I are on BYU in a potential slippery spot there. And then I'll go lastly here. This will be an official play. Tulane, think about this from a situational angle, Matt. Tulane's last 2 weeks, they were up on Kansas State at home, ultimately lost that game by a touchdown. Last week, they went out to Stillwater. They were in a battle in the fourth quarter, ultimately did not win and did not cover. Louisiana has started the year with games against Grambling and Kennesaw State, and they had a bye week last week. So I actually like John Summerall's squad quite a bit. I think Tulane has been impressive, but I just think from a body blow perspective, you've got Louisiana coming off of a bye, Tulane back-to-back Power 5 games where they went into the fourth quarter with a chance to win both of those games. I'm going to take the Ragin' Cajuns here in a tricky spot for Tulane. So that'll be another official play for me. Louisiana plus the three in a potential just tricky spot, body blow theory, however you want to define it there, for Tulane after back-to-back games against high-level P5 programs.
Well, that's an interesting handicap in that game, because I talked to a source in Louisiana who thinks that team stinks. But Tulane is coming off, like you said, two high-level games, two probably punishing physical games, and has played a higher level of competition, so that's a plus, but also probably a little bit drained off those two games, so that's a negative. Circa opened this line 5, and it's dipped to 2.5 at some spots in the market, so sharper money on the dog there.
Yeah, so maybe they do stink because they play Grambling and Kennesaw State. All right, let's run through a couple big boys with big spreads, and then we do have another best bet for Matt as well before we get on out of here. Marshall is at Ohio State. Funny moment earlier this week is Charles Huff, the head coach of Marshall, joked that you could come and get some NIL biscuits if you want to play for Marshall. Ohio State is a significant favorite in this one, laying 40. Penn State taking on Kent State. They are a 49-point favorite. Kent State, if you're wondering, was down 65-0 last week against Tennessee at halftime. UCLA at LSU. Matt, UCLA, a team that you and I both have a win total under. UCLA catching 23.5 at LSU. How about this? LSU has not covered four consecutive games if you go back to their bowl game. So pretty shocking to see UCLA catching almost north of three touchdowns here against the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, I was at the Rose Bowl 3 years ago in September when Chip Kelly and UCLA knocked off LSU in that game. I think it was 38-27, if I recall correctly, but that was one of Chip Kelly's biggest wins with the Bruins. This is going to be payback here because I don't like anything I'm seeing from this UCLA team. The coaching staff, Sean Foster, Eric Bieniemy, in a little bit over their heads right now. Chip Kelly did not recruit at a high level the last couple of years. UCLA very lucky to get off the island with a win over Hawaii a couple weeks ago, 16-13. Then to get blown out at home by Indiana. It's one thing to lose the game. It's another thing to get blown out at home, 42-13. I noticed this number went up from 20, opened around 22, up as high as 24.5, now back down to 23 today. I don't know who's betting on who's betting on UCLA, but I think this should be LSU in a lopsided game here. No interest in the Bruins for me.
All right, three other big boys with big spreads before we get one final bet from Matt and our best bet recap. Miami of Ohio at Notre Dame. I don't know if anyone's ever heard this, but Notre Dame laying 28 against the MAC team. That's probably never happened before. Oh, wait, 2 weeks ago in Northern Illinois won that game. So we'll see if the Irish are buttoned up after a 66-7 win last week over Purdue. Georgia Southern at Ole Miss. Ole Miss continues just to put up monstrous numbers. They're laying 36 against Georgia Southern. And then Arch Manning will get the start for Texas as the Longhorns are laying 44.5 against the Warhawks of UL Monroe. All right, Matt, let's go to a quasi-late night game. 8:30 Eastern, True TV. Fresno State off of a 48-0 win over New Mexico State, taking on the other New Mexico. They're going for the New Mexico belt, apparently, this weekend. They're at New Mexico. The number has trickled down a little bit right now across the market. New Mexico catching 14 against the Bulldogs of Fresno State.
Yeah, by the way, those previous games you're talking about, I want to know who's got the guts or whatever you want to call it to bet Kent State this week. Is that the worst team in the FBS? So good luck if you're taking the points with Kent State. No interest in that. I am going to take the points with New Mexico. And I know a lot of people are saying, this Bronco Mendenhall defense is terrible. Well, hey, give New Mexico some credit for playing tough competition here early in the season. And last week, the Lobos trailed Auburn 17-13 at halftime on the road. But one thing I like about the Lobos is they really cranked up their offense behind Devin Dampier, the quarterback. He's not the most accurate passer at 57%. That's pretty much the norm for him. 723 passing yards, 181 rushing yards. He's a dual threat type of quarterback. Eli Sanders is a threat, a running back. Luke Weissong, a couple of talented receivers out there as well. But this Lobos offense averaging 29.7 points per game against pretty good competition so far. And don't forget, I guess you could say it's a payback game, but I think maybe this indicates that the matchup's not bad for New Mexico. Last year, the Lobos were 22-point dogs at Fresno and won the game 25-17 and rolled up 526 total yards. I think Bronco Mendenhall's team is close to a breakthrough win. I took plus 15 here with New Mexico. Another home dog. Hopefully it gets there.
All right, Matt, you want to lead into your best bet recap with your final bet being on the Lobos plus the 14.
Yeah, let's see. Let's go with, in fact, hopefully you can get a better number than 14 on the Lobos out there because I grabbed 15, and you might need every half point you can get. I'm going to say this, too. I've never been more wrong about a Purdue football game than I was last week. I've been watching Notre Dame and Purdue football for about 50 years and always have a pretty good read on that rivalry, and I thought I had a pretty good read on those teams. My God, I have no idea what the hell happened last week. But Notre Dame up 35-0 before you could blink. And boy, I heard Brad Powers say he was going to bet Purdue this week. I'm going to have to take a pass on that after watching Purdue Notre Dame debacle a week ago. That was my worst play. Hopefully that'll be my worst play of the season. But Tim, I had CLV. I had Purdue plus 11. Okay. This week's best bets for me, South Florida plus 17, Iowa money line. New Mexico plus 15, BYU plus 7, Baylor plus 2, TCU money line, Oklahoma plus 7. Look for the 7.5.
All right, that's going to do it for our podcast. Do we have time, Wyatt, to throw up the best bet recap here real quickly for yours truly, as we're going to take some dogs. Buffalo plus 14.5, under Michigan, USC, Navy plus 10, Oklahoma plus 7, Louisiana plus 3, BYU plus 7, Clemson to make the ACC title plus 100.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, a little bonus action for you, as the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast does air Saturday mornings on VSiN at 9 a.m. So we like to do only Saturday games, but we do have, Matt, a pretty loaded up Friday slate. Real quickly, I just want to run through, because we are up against the hard clock there. My best bets: Buffalo plus 14.5, taking on Northern Illinois, maybe a little overinflation, fat and happy, however you want to look at it. Michigan, USC under 44.5, Navy anything double digits plus the 10, Oklahoma plus 7, Louisiana, hopefully Matt's source is inaccurate and they don't full out stink, take the 3 there with Louisiana against Tulane, BYU plus 7, and then Clemson to make the ACC championship at even money. Matt, 3 games on Friday night, and I want to start with the top 25 showdown, as Nebraska taking on Illinois. This number's been interesting. It's kind of bounced around a little bit. It's gone as high as 9, settled back down at 7.5, actually did open 10 at Circa. So some money coming in on Brett Bielema's squad here. Should be a great atmosphere Friday night in Lincoln. Total has also come down to around 42.5, Matt. Any thoughts on Illinois and Nebraska Friday night in Lincoln?
Certainly, I'm looking forward to this game as well. And I know Nebraska fans are jacked up, because Cornhusker is looking pretty good so far. And they're on track to make a bowl for the first time in about almost 10 years. But I wanted to get the Illini plus 10. That's what I was hoping to get here. I backed the Illini when they were home dogs against Kansas a couple weeks ago. And I'm interested in playing the dog here, but not at this number. It's dropped from 9 to 7.5 or 8. So this is a pretty good lesson here, that if you don't get the number you want, you can wait. And that's what I'm going to do with the Illini. I can live bet this game on Friday night. Nebraska gets out to lead. I can probably take a better number with Illinois than what I'm getting right now. So I'm not going to press the panic button, Tim, to use a cliche. I'm just going to wait and be patient and see if maybe I can get a better number than this with the Illini. But I want to see Nebraska's offense get tested by a legit defense, and I'm not sure we've really seen that yet, and I'm not sure how legitimate the Illini defense is either. But a lean to the dog, no play. I think this is going to be an ugly game on Friday night, but the Illini want to make it ugly, and that's how they can keep it close.
Yeah, I would do the lean towards the dog as well. I think we're going to learn a lot about Dylan Raiola and this Nebraska offense. The defense has looked the part. They've allowed a total of 20 points, granted, against UTEP, Northern Iowa, but a dominating victory over Colorado was very impressive. All right, late night on the CW, San Jose State at Washington State. This was one of my first bets of the weekend, and I was unable to get the 14.5, which upset me, because I was waiting, and sometimes when you're patient, you lose out on a good number. I still was able to grab the 14. Market has moved this all the way down to 12. This is a massive letdown spot for Washington State after they beat Washington in the rain, Lumen Field in Seattle, goal line stand. I was texting you, Will Rogers, very poor performance late in that game with the decision to call a timeout. Then the play call was an absolute disaster. Washington State, though, this is a fun team to watch, Matt. John Mateer, their quarterback, good runner, rushed for 62 yards and 2 scores against Washington. You know, for San Jose State, they have not been tested, and we don't know how good this defense is because Air Force offense looks like it's awful. Kennesaw State is, you know, a glorified FCS program in the first year of the FBS, and they played Sacramento State week one where they had to come back in the fourth quarter to get that win. But from a situational standpoint, San Jose State should be able to, I would imagine, keep this thing relatively close. It's a short week for Wazoo. Next week they play Boise State, so if you want to consider it a sandwich spot here. But, you know, you saw Jake Dickert on the sideline, how elated he was for them to beat Washington. You know, they're kind of little brother in that rivalry as well. So from a situational standpoint, San Jose State is definitely the side. The thing is, you're missing out on the best number of those two touchdowns. So similar at this point, I probably wouldn't recommend 12, but, you know, keep an eye on in-game because I do think San Jose State, just from a, once again, a pure on situational angle, they have the edge over Washington State here.
Yeah, you could have put Washington State in the letdown category this week, right? Big win for the Cougars over Jed Fish and the Huskies. And what the hell was Washington doing with that last play call on fourth down?
Option near side of the field, Matt. I mean, good Lord almighty.
After Will Rogers burned a timeout, that you can't burn that timeout right there. And then you run the option to the short side of the field. Talk about a total cluster. You know what? So what a huge win for Washington State, which looks like it's going to be the Tupac Conference champions this year. And now the Cougars got to come back and play a San Jose State team that's off to a pretty good start. Coach Ken, one of the good guys in college football, is off to a nice start here, 3-0 with San Jose. Sacramento State's not a bad FCS team. San Jose won that game 42-24, needed a big comeback, actually. They beat Air Force. This was the big win for Coach Ken, winning at Air Force 17-7. That's tough to do that in Colorado Springs, and then beating Kennesaw State. But Emmett Brown off to a nice start with 9 TD passes for the Spartans. And the situational factors definitely favor San Jose. I'm not sure how good the San Jose team is, but I lean this way. I regret not betting the best number here. I missed the 14, and now I'm not sure I want to take 12. But again, San Jose would be the play if I do play it late Friday night.
How about the day Nick Nash had last week for San Jose State? 17 catches, 225 yards, 3 touchdowns as one of the ugly dogs that we referenced last week on the show. For me, Kennesaw State did not get home. I was catching, I think, 19.5, and they lost by 21. The only other game on Friday night at the Carrier Dome, or whatever they're calling it these days, Kyle McCord and his Syracuse Orange off to a pretty good start to the season, Matt. They come out to Vegas here in a couple of weeks, so will be an interesting one to see there. Stanford at Syracuse, and Syracuse is laying 8.5 against Stanford. So looks like we lost connection with Matt. That's all right. We'll just wrap it up here. Syracuse and Stanford, I don't think a play from either one of us, but one of those new ACC rivalries that is going to be fun to randomly see on a Friday night. Tricky travel there for Stanford coming across the country, even though I do believe, let me double check this, Stanford is coming off of a bye week. So Stanford coming off a bye, they do not have a massive travel disadvantage there against Syracuse. So Matt, we'd have you back for one final thought. Syracuse and Stanford, this is you know, your classic ACC rivalry. Syracuse looks like they're laying 8.5 or 9 against the Cardinal of Stanford.
Yeah, I'll talk to Stanford Steve about this one, see if you can get some inside info on this. Ashton Daniels is doing it all right now for the Stanford offense. 62% completions, 384 yards passing. Also the leading rusher with 118 yards, and the leading rusher by far for this team. That's such a long trip for Stanford. I just don't know if I can trust Stanford in this situation. I watched that opening game against TCU, and I thought the Cardinal had a great shot to win that game. It's a well-coached team, but it's such a long trip, and there's not too many dimensions to Stanford offense right now that, hey, I've played enough dead dogs early in the season. I'm not going to reach. I'm not going to reach and start playing leans like this on a Friday night game. I lean to Stanford, but this is not going to be a bet for me.
Yeah, no bet for me, but I do have some San Jose State in pocket. Hopefully we get back maybe towards that 14 number. He could get it in game. By the way, speaking of dead dogs, they're actually a dead favorite. Florida State, they could enter some rarefied air potentially, man, if they were to lose to Cal this weekend to start the year 0-4 straight up and be a favorite in every single game. Justin Wilcox squad got it done. They got you your under. San Diego State did not get my cover. Pretty tricky travel spot, night game down there at Doak Campbell. It's always interesting to look at these games before we get out of here because you just wonder, is Florida State just dead on arrival as they started 0-3 here to start the year and they bring in what I'm sure will be a very hungry Cal team? But from a travel standpoint, Cal goes, flies to Auburn, back to Berkeley, now back to Tallahassee. Pretty tricky travel there for Cal, but you couldn't pay me. I couldn't take, you know, producer Wyatt's money and put it on Florida State here in this game.
No, but this might be a spot where Florida State circles the wagons. So the Seminoles might get their act together here because it seems like the whole world is against them. And by the way, they got two starters back on the offensive line this week. Is that right? Did you read that, Tim?
I believe that to be the case, yes.
I'm not going to make excuses for DJU because his play at quarterback has been pathetic so far. I'm not saying that this is going to turn things around for him. But you could also make a case that this is the really ultimate buy-low spot on Florida State at home, laying less than a field goal if you were compelled to make that case. I'm not going to play this game, but I think you're giving away so much value in the number when you're playing Cal at less than a field goal dog here on the road in Tallahassee. I can't do it.
Minus 135 is the cheapest money line price out there if you want to ride with the Noles at home. And what I can only imagine to be a raucous environment for the Cal Golden Bears to come to town. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks to all of you for listening to the bonus edition here. Let's hopefully have some winners. Thanks to producer Wyatt. Thanks to producer Ryan. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Let's keep those big numbers rolling, as once again, this has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.